Been sharing with you the past number of Sundays here. First, I talked about our mission statement and try to offer some insights into why, what, how, those kind of things. And then to point out that each of the vision statements proposed grow out of the mission statement, enhance it, add to it, kind of point us in different directions. And this is the last of those series to look at that, our third vision statement that we have. You have it in the bulletin in front of you if you got one this morning. And it simply says, we will reach out in warm, positive ways. We will reach out in warm, positive ways. Why reach out? Statement says, so that this body of Christ will be healthy and strong to carry out God's mission. You remember the movie The Blues Brothers back in the 70s? It's kind of a classic. Crazy characters in there, Jake and Elwood Blues. And what was the whole story centered around? They were getting the band back together, right? Jake and Elwood were getting the band back together for a specific purpose, to raise money for the orphanage. Of course, it was one big disaster of a process. But repeated throughout, as they were getting the band together, they were asked why they were doing this. And what did they say? We're on a mission from God. We're on a mission from God. They were convinced of it. And I'm not sure we take very seriously the fact that we are on a mission from God. Theirs was a joke. Ours is not. But we get so busy making a living. We get so busy just coping with our problems. We get so busy with just getting by that we forget, or we put this on the shelf, or we think it's something optional for the Christian life to be on a mission. But that mission that we have is the very same one that Jesus gave to the first people about 2,000 years ago. And what was it? Bill read it for us just a little while ago. In Matthew 9:36, it says, when he saw the crowds, what motivated Jesus here? When he saw the crowds, he had compassion on them because they were harassed and helpless like sheep without a shepherd. Jesus took on his mission simply because he cared about people, cared about them very, very much. I remember very well a television commercial. It was on years ago, but there was a man and a woman dressed in nice clothes, traveling in a really nice Lincoln SUV or something like that. It was a dark and rainy night, and they passed this dog along the road that looked like a stray, looked like it was lost, helpless, it was all wet. They went on down the road a little ways. They kind of looked at each other, and they turned that SUV around and went and picked up that old wet dog and put it in their car. Why? Because they had compassion on that dog and wanted to help it. I think we live in a world just like Jesus was in. For all of our prosperity, for all of our self-assurance, for all of our sense of self-sufficiency, you know, people are still in need, in great need. People are still lost. People still have no idea who this God is, or have no idea who they are stumbling along in life. They think they have purpose. They think they have meaning. But they don't. They don't know where they're going. They certainly don't know the truth. So people today find it real easy to embrace all sorts of spirituality. I know a lot of it's good, but it doesn't get them where they need to go. A bunch of New Age philosophies, or a bunch of do-it-yourself faith. That's a very big thing today. It might be do-it-yourself, but will it do what God needs done in their lives? They can put together all sorts of stuff and say, well, this is my faith. This is my basis for living. But a whole lot of it, folks, is just cotton candy. You ever eat cotton candy? I thought the stuff you could bite into it, I thought there'd be something to chew. But the first time I bit into cotton candy, that stuff just melts. There's nothing there. It was the most frustrating stuff to eat that I've ever tried to eat. Of course, I don't ever touch sugar now, you know that. But cotton candy, there's nothing to it. absolutely nothing to it. So people need the message we have for them. And that's why we say we have a vision that we will reach out to folks. Why? Because they need the message we have. They need the Christ that we have. Need. That's a powerful, powerful word. Without a roadmap, without a destination, people are just going nowhere, not getting anywhere. But God has given us a roadmap in Jesus Christ, and we need to show the roadmap to them too and say, hey, look, I'm on this journey. I'm not there yet, but I'm following Christ. Come on and follow with me. Now, the video at the beginning of our worship says God doesn't need us. He does not need us. That's true. But he wants us. But somehow God also does need us to participate in this process of reaching out to others. Jesus apparently needed help when he was here. And so what did he do? That's the scripture we read this morning. If you have your Bibles open to Luke 9, 39 and 36 and following, 35 and following, excuse me, you'll find that Jesus said, hey, look, the harvest is very, very ripe, he says, but the laborers are few. Ask God to call people to work in the harvest and to bring it in. And what do we read next? In chapter 10, it tells us about 12 specific people that Jesus called and said, hey, you, follow me. Hey, you, help me. They all have names. They all have personalities. They all have identities. We tend to think that they were all fishermen and all the same, all males, all Jews, all fishermen. But these guys were very, very, very different from one another in their education, in their experiences, and in their expectations. I mean, Philip was a scholar, okay, well-educated. Matthew was a tax collector, so he was thought to be a traitor to his people. But Jesus called him. Simon was a zealot. You know what a zealot was in that day and time? Wanted to overthrow the Roman government, was willing to do it by violence. In our today's lingo, we would say he was a terrorist. A terrorist. Simon the terrorist. Judas Iscariot was an out-of-towner who brought his own customs to the group here. So these guys were all different. But what bound them together was this man and this mission, Jesus Christ, from God. For 3 years, they put aside their differences and worked to get the message out. Now, no doubt that you probably hear something like this today and say, you're to get the message out. And you probably come up with a bunch of reasons why you don't think you can or you should. I'm not smart enough. I don't know the Bible well enough. Or you say, I'm not bold enough. I'm not eloquent enough. Well, what was Ron just talking about here a little while ago? He was shy and couldn't imagine himself speaking up here like this or sharing his faith the way he does. He's been emboldened by Jesus Christ and has done so for some very specific purposes. But don't sell yourself short, because God uses ordinary people to do this. I read somewhere that pointed out that as you read through the Bible, you find these facts about people. Abraham was too old. David was too young. Hosea's wife was a prostitute. Remember that? Amos was just a sycamore pruner from a hick town. Elijah was depressed. Jonah was a chicken who ran from God. Noah got drunk. Jacob was deceitful. David was an adulterer and a murderer. Simon was too rich. Naomi was just a poor widow lady. Samson had long hair. Elisha had no hair. I like that guy. Yeah. John the Baptist was thought to be too stern. Jesus was thought to be too lenient. Martha was a worrywart. Mary seemed lazy. James and John both had bad tempers, real bad tempers. Peter was afraid of death. Lazarus was dead. And Thomas doubted. Everybody had a shortcoming, a problem, a fault, something major, and yet God used all those people to do great things for him, flawed and faulty as they are. And that's you and me, the very same way. We don't need a flashy resume. We don't need a high IQ. We don't need great SAT scores to get out there and do what Jesus said to do. Tell them about me. Tell the message. Reach out in warm and positive ways. Just show up and just do it. And he knows we can. Zig Ziglar is a very popular motivational speaker, and in his seminars, Ziglar often asks people to write down the characteristics of a good salesperson. What makes a good salesperson? People usually write down things like this: honest, diligent, hardworking, good with people, ready to follow through, loves customers, high integrity, high product knowledge, things such as that. And then after Ziglar goes and gets these responses, then he very often can point out how many of those things that people say makes a good salesperson, he said, are those characteristics that can be taught, or are they attitudes? Lo and behold, people look at what they wrote down and they find out they're attitudes. They are attitudes. Especially the one is when a good salesperson is convinced that the person he or she is talking to needs what they are offering. And that could very much empower us to know that the people we're talking to, they need God's love. They need this Savior, Jesus Christ. They need this relationship with Christ themselves. Not with us, but with Him. Jesus said in Matthew 10:7, here, do this. Look, you guys, get out there, preach. Here's your message. The kingdom of heaven is near. Heal the sick, raise the dead, cleanse those who have leprosy, drive out demons. Freely you have received, now freely give. Now, I hope you hear Jesus saying that to you today, because he is saying it. Think about the fact that Jesus told his followers to heal the sick, okay? You probably think miracles. Well, I can't go out and do miracles. But maybe he means that. Maybe he means exactly that, but not necessarily. Did you know that the oldest hospital in the world, and is still in existence today, is the Hotel Dieu, and it's in Paris? You know, the word Dieu means God. Hotel God. This hospital was established by St. Landry in the year 600 AD. But even 200 years before that, a man named Fabiola, a disciple of St. Jerome, is credited with having built the first hospital in the Western world in Rome in 400 AD. Look how many hospitals in existence today bear the names Saint something, Saint this or Saint that. Well, there's lots of Catholic hospitals, right? Believers in Jesus Christ build hospitals. There are Lutheran hospitals. There are Methodist hospitals. There are Baptist hospitals all over the world. The ministry of medicine and healing is inspired by people of the Christian faith. Christians build hospitals. So we might just be healing by miracles. Maybe that'll happen once in a while, all according to the working of God. But so how many hundreds and thousands of ways are Christians working through healing the sick? Through ministries such as this. People like Florence Nightingale. She was a devout believer in Jesus Christ. And it was her compassion, rooted in her faith, that caused her to revolutionize the practice of medicine, especially during the American Civil War. Louis Pasteur, you've heard of him? He's a very, very successful in his mission in health and medicine. When Pasteur died, with one hand he was holding his wife's hand, and in the other hand he had his crucifix. The man was a very devout Christian. And we are to bring healing to the lives of people who are hurting, however they may be hurting, whether it be physically, mentally, emotionally, spiritually. If you have any compassion in your heart for people, you'll be working in their lives in an effective way. Reach out in warm, positive ways. What will make us passionate? One thing I think, the thing that will make us not passionate about this is we think everybody's heard about Jesus. We think people know Jesus. We're Americans, we tend to leave folks alone, you know. That's their own business. I'm going to mind my own business. I'm not going to get into their business. That can often be a huge mistake. Not that we're nosy, not that we want to manipulate, but there's a lot of people out here who maybe they know the name of Jesus, but they don't really know Jesus, right? And if you delve a little bit deeper into what they know and what they're doing about their faith, you find out it's pretty shallow. It's about an inch deep. There's not much there. And they may not really be believers at all. I mean, that's not up for us to judge. But so many times, there's not a whole lot there. Excuse me. And maybe that makes us hesitant to share the good news of Jesus Christ, to think they already know, but they don't. We've got to check in with people. And then what might make us hesitant too is we think, well, this is our message. It's not our message. We can say to folks, I didn't make this up. This isn't my plan. This isn't my design, but this comes from God through Christ, through me to you. And we ought to be empowered by such scriptures as Romans 1:16 that says, "For I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power of God for all those who believe, to the Jew first and also to the Greek." Knowing it's God's message and not ours, that doesn't allow us to be timid. It makes us bold. It doesn't allow us to be shy. It makes us aggressive. It doesn't make us hesitant. It makes us very straightforward. Not that we're going to bowl people over. What's our vision statement say? Reach out in warm, positive ways. Warm ways. Not cold, mechanical ways. Warm ways where we really care about people. In the kinds of ways Felice was so specific this morning about the ways people have reached out to her and her family. In warm, warm ways. Why? Because that works a whole lot better. Positive ways. Why? Because that works a whole lot better than negative ways. When you come to church on Sunday morning, do I dump on you? Do I harangue you about what you're doing wrong? Do I point out your sins? And you've got many sins, don't you? Along with me. Do I lay a guilt trip on you? Do I just, you know, if the negativity flows from us, it's that negativity shared with others. It happens in your life, right? You have a bad day at work. You come home and yell at the family, the wife, the kids. Why'd you do that? Because you got dumped on, right? We're not going to do that here. That's not part of our vision. We're going to reach out in warm, positive ways to connect people. And think of it also, too, in this way. If someone has a disease or a physical problem and you know the cure, don't you want to tell them about it? Don't you want to share it with them? For the longest time, doctors and the medical community thought stomach ulcers were caused by such things as stress and spicy foods and things such as that. Finally, a little more than a decade ago, a man came along and said, excuse me a second. Turn the mic off a minute. Sorry about that. What's a cure for a dry throat, huh? No, I'm okay. Thank you very much. Bring me a beer, okay? Oh, thank you, dear. Thank you very, very much. He's got a drinking problem here in church, right? Thank you, Teresa. I'll pay you a dollar for that in a minute. Stomach ulcers. What's the cause? There was a man who came along and said, I believe I've found out that it is a certain bacteria, Helicobacter pylori. I have to read it because I can't remember it. He said, I think this bacteria causes all stomach ulcers. He set about and he proved it. He proved it. There is a medicine that can take care of that bacteria that will heal stomach ulcers. So if you hear of somebody who has a stomach ulcer, do you just let them try whatever they want to try? You just let them try this medication or that Tums or whatever? No, you say, wait a minute, I know the cure. I know what the problem is, and I know the cure. Here's the cure. I share it with you. You see, we know what people's problems are. The Bible makes it very, very clear. Their problem is sin. Their problem is a wrong relationship out of sync with God. And it's not that way because we said it that way. It's because God's pointed out that that's your problem. And we know the cure. The cure is Jesus Christ. The cure is not a book. It's not a book. It's not that small, okay? The Bible connects us to that cure, Jesus Christ, and we want to introduce people to him. So that's what Jesus is encouraging us and asking us to go out to do. He told his 12 friends to get out there and tell them, the kingdom of heaven is near. The kingdom of heaven is right here. What was he talking about? He was talking about himself, Jesus. We're going to go out and tell people the same thing. The kingdom of heaven is here. No, it's not Mount Hermon Baptist Church. That's your connection to it. That's good. It's not just the Bible. That's your connection to it. That's good. It's not just your faith. It's that your is your connection to him, Jesus Christ. Now, people may say, well, wait a minute. Isn't that some guy who lived 2,000 years ago? And what do you say? Yeah, he was here in a special way 2,000 years ago, but he's still here. He's still alive. We're talking about the now. We're not talking about the past. We're not talking about the future. We are talking about Jesus right now. So, we're going to reach out in warm, positive ways. Why? Because this world, your friends, your family members, the people you know, come in touch with, they need this Jesus. Do you believe that? Do you believe that? Well, if you do, you'll go out and tell others.